The pageantry of American democracy takes place tonight when President Donald Trump delivers his annual State of the Union address before a joint session of Congress. Some Democrats plan to hold an alternative event off the Hill, while others are encouraging a return to norms of decorum that have slipped in recent years. More on that tonight. Today, we start with two views of the war in Ukraine, which began on this date 4 years ago. Fred Weir reports from Moscow, where war weariness creeps beneath a veneer of normalcy. Howard LaFranchi, meanwhile, sends a letter of love to Pokrovsk, a frontline city in Ukraine where residents planted roses in defiance of Russia's invasion, but that now lies mostly abandoned. It's Tuesday, February 24th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. A federal judge in Florida permanently blocked the release of materials related to President Donald Trump's alleged mishandling of classified documents. Jack Smith, the special prosecutor who brought the case, had sought to release a two-volume report on the investigation. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon dismissed the case in July 2024 after ruling that Mr. Smith had been unlawfully appointed. The president, she wrote, like any other defendant in this situation, still enjoys the presumption of innocence held sacrosanct in our constitutional order. Releasing the report would contravene that protection, she added. Two watchdog groups have already appealed her decision. The U.S. military accelerated its withdrawal from Syria on Monday. Eyewitnesses reported heavy machinery, personnel, and armored vehicles leaving the Khosrak base in northern Syria for Iraqi Kurdistan. U.S. forces left three bases in southeastern and northeastern Syria earlier this month as part of reported plans to withdraw all 1,000 American troops from Syria by April. The bases were established in 2015-16 as hubs for anti-ISIS operations. U.S. diplomatic sources said a reason for the drawdown is that the new Syrian government joined the American-led anti-ISIS coalition. Also, the Netherlands appointed a new minority coalition government, ending months of negotiations after a closely contested election. Rob Jetten became the country's youngest prime minister on February 23rd, and its first openly gay premier. He will lead a three-party coalition of centrist and center-right groups that holds only 66 of 150 seats in parliament, meaning he will need support from the political opposition to pass laws. The government was sworn in 117 days after the election. Mr. Jetten pledged to continue supporting Ukraine and strengthening the country's military. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. President Donald Trump tried to respond boldly with new tariffs to counter a Supreme Court ruling that went against him. But the White House's economic calculus is in flux as global leaders reconsider trade ties. Laurent Belsey reports for the Monitor. 4 years on from its initial invasion, Russia has now been engaged in war in Ukraine longer than the Soviet Union fought in World War II. The country is still committed to the fight, but the cost is starting to wear. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for the Monitor. During visits to the now ruined and occupied Ukrainian city of Pokrovsk, a Monitor reporter fell in love with its roses for the hope and inspiration they provided the city's warm and welcoming residents in time of war. Howard LaFranchi writes for the Monitor. Taking down a drug cartel leader is a win for a country, but the swift violence that often follows is a public reminder that peace might not be imminent. Whitney Ulick reports from Mexico City for the Monitor. Income taxes pay for nearly half of public services in the U.S., from healthcare to schools to police. But some economists see them as a drag on productivity, holding back the power of workers and capital. Patrick Johnson reports from Tybee Island, Georgia, for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on why Congress is the real voice of citizens. As mandated by the United States Constitution, that the President give the Congress, the legislative branch, information of the State of the Union, George Washington delivered the first such annual message in 1790. Addressing assembled members, he referred to the novelty and difficulty of legislating and called for the cool and deliberate exertion of your patriotism, firmness, and wisdom. This year's planned State of the Union address, on Tuesday, February 24th, offers an opportunity to reflect on the governing pillars of deliberation and discussion that Washington and other founding fathers prized. The event's televised panoramas of representatives of all three branches of government attending the event may also help underscore the rationale behind the Constitution's separation of legislative, executive, and judicial powers. Tuesday's event occurs a few days after last week's Supreme Court ruling against the administration's imposition of global trade tariffs under the 1977 International Emergency Economic Powers Act. The authority for applying such blanket levies, the court's decision indicated, lies with the legislative branch, members of Congress who are elected by Americans to represent their interests. Yes, legislating can be hard and take time, Justice Neil Gorsuch acknowledged in his concurring opinion. And yes, it can be tempting to bypass Congress when some pressing problem arises. But the deliberative nature of the legislative process was the whole point of its design, he continued. Through that process, the nation can tap the combined wisdom of the people's elected representatives, not just that of one faction or man. The Declaration of Independence spoke of citizens' unalienable, endowed, God-given rights and of citizens as equal. The U.S. Constitution cemented those rights through an institution expressly designed to represent the will and aspirations of the people. Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, generally a supporter of President Donald Trump, said the court's decision reaffirmed authority that has rested with Congress for centuries, and that the body's legislative role is not an inconvenience to avoid. For the country to enact policies that impact Americans widely, he said, the path forward is crystal clear. Convince their congressional representatives. Voices from both sides of the political spectrum appear to agree on the centrality of Congress's role. A Wall Street Journal editorial viewed Justice Gorsuch's words as a stirring message to revive Congress to exercise its legislative authority. The difficulty of passing legislation is a constitutional feature, not a fault, it wrote. The left-leaning Brennan Center for Justice urged last November that the president take his case for global tariffs and the national interest to Congress, so that elected representatives can decide with democratic debate and accountability to their constituents. Washington would likely have agreed. It is only after time has been given for cool and deliberate reflection that the real voice of the people can be known, he wrote to a colleague in 1796. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how in God we find our genuine selfhood, full of integrity and strength. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Mackenzie Farkas, and Audrey Thiebert.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.